computers.
I got mail! Yay! I got mail! Yay!
Okay.
You got mail.
I got mail!
You've got mail.
I got mail! You got mail!
Oh, yes, but I don't go through Microsoft.
No!
I mean, not Microsoft, but AOL.
Yay! Why don't you go through Microsoft?
No, I don't go through AOL.
Why not?
Because I have higher standards.
Does that mean I got lower standards? Because I got mail. I got mail. Yay! Yay! I got mail. Yay! Did you hear me that I got mail?
Yes, you got mail.
I do.
That's great.
And I'm almost out of breath. Do you got mail?
Yep.
Well, so do I. Mail. I got mail.
Anything else?
Yes.
Yes.
I got mail.
Uh-huh.
Yay.
And then?
And then, yay.
You've got mail. You've got mail.
I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. I got mail. Yay!
You've got mail.
You go, sir.
What?
I'm out of breath. You go.
No way. That's too much for me.
No, it's not. I got mail.
Sure.
Yay.
Okay. There's nothing that I can do for you then.
Yes, there is.
What's that?
I got mail.
Okay.
All right. You have a good day. And just remember something, sir.
Yeah.
I got mail. Yay. I got mail. Yay.
Bye.
I got mail. Yay.
Welcome to the Geek Generation, episode 17. I am joined once again by Geek Gamer Girl, Anna Zivkak. How are you?
Good, how are you? Glad to be back.
Good, good. We got some good response from having a female on the show for a change, so.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, always nice to change it up. I think our fans appreciate it. First of all, I just want to say thanks to all the people who emailed photos in for the Halloween gallery. I know it's not up yet, but it will be up soon. I'm trying out some different photo gallery plugins for the site, and I haven't found one that I exactly want to use yet, but I think I'm close. I'm narrowing it down. So that gallery will go up soon, as well as the New York Comic Con photo gallery, which should have been up a long time ago, but that'll go up soon too, because the galleries are getting in place.
Nice. I'm getting excited to see the Halloween costumes. I've always been huge on making my own costumes and stuff like that, so it's going to be really awesome to see how the fans, you know, dressed up for Halloween. And a friend of mine had the coolest costume ever, which I'm trying to get her to submit to you, because Mike Reinfleisch will pass out and die. She was a Pyramid Head, and it came out amazing.
How do you pull that off?
She made like a big steel, I mean, it doesn't, obviously wasn't made out of steel, but looked like it was made out of steel, big giant helmet with like glass. And the big sword. I mean, it's phenomenal. She has to submit that picture to you guys because it looks exactly like it. And the funniest part is she's like 5'2". but she looked awesome. It was great.
That's an impressive feat just to pull off without falling over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
actually one of the coolest ones I saw. G1 sent in a video of his costume that's going to go up, and it has to be seen in video because it's a Rorschach mask that actually moves around.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very impressed.
I think we should do Halloween twice a year.
I think so. I think people look forward to it way too much.
Definitely.
Let's double up all the holidays, because we got Christmas coming up soon, too, and I have no problem with doing that twice a year.
I'd like to do that every other year.
What?
I get so sick. It's because it starts in, like, October, you know? It's like, can we just... I think it should be exclusive to December. It just starts to drive me crazy, so by the time it comes around, I'm so tired of it that I don't even want it to happen.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. I was just upstairs before coming down here to record, and there is definitely Christmas music on the radio already.
Ugh, give Thanksgiving a chance, man.
I know.
Give it its own month. It gets totally bypassed.
It does. It's horrible.
One of the worst things I think I ever saw, it was in Halifax, Massachusetts. I was driving by, this was a couple of years ago, and it was October, and I'm not even kidding, somebody had a black cat with a pumpkin, a turkey, and Santa Claus on their lawn. You know, those damn inflatable things?
Right.
I'm like, come on. I mean, why don't we just, you know, eliminate all holidays and just have one massive holiday, and we'll celebrate, you know, we'll dress up in costumes, open presents, and eat turkey. Because that's what people are turning it into. You know, October, November, and December are just being smashed into one ridiculous thing.
Decemberween.
Right, exactly.
The other thing I wanted to address real quick is that we didn't have an episode last week because I attempted to do our second fan feedback episode, and I was sitting at my computer for an hour before I basically called it quits because we had no callers, so I didn't want to waste another hour waiting for calls that might never come. So I know there are people who like the show. Some people just weren't available for the fan feedback, and that's fine, but no calls, no show, so I did what I could.
Yeah, that sucks. You know, I mean, the first one turned out okay, so, you know, it could definitely be just a matter of coincidence and, you know, try another one in a month or so and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm hoping within the next couple months I'll be able to actually do a live streaming show and be able to take calls during the show, so fan feedback won't even be really necessary anymore.
Right, yeah, that would be ideal, obviously.
Obviously. The other thing I talked about last episode was that I saw Back to the Future on the big screen, but I bring it up again because I know you went as well.
Yes, I did.
How did you like seeing it?
It was awesome. I do have like one tragic complaint. I mean, it wasn't anybody's fault, but I was actually very late, so I didn't get to see the very beginning of it, which, you know, with the music and the whole skateboarding thing.
Sure.
Obviously, I was pretty disappointed at that. But we went and to the Danvers Theater, and we got up on the highway, and it was just stopped because we totally forgot it was we had to drive through Salem.
Oh,
you know, Halloween weekend.
Right.
So everybody and their mother and their brother and their cousin was driving to Salem, Massachusetts, and we got stuck in that traffic. So I was pretty pissed I missed the beginning of it, but the rest of it was awesome, obviously, so I was wicked excited to go see that, and it's part of my geek out, actually, so we'll get back into that in a little bit, but, you know, and it's kind of funny, because last time you and I did a show together, we talked about, you know, nostalgic movies,
yep,
and how a theater near you used to do that, and it seems like somebody up there was looking out for us, and somebody finally did what the geek generation told them to do, because the AMC Framingham is having nostalgic movie night now once a month.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. They started with Ghostbusters.
Yep.
So, you know, 2 weeks after I said, oh my God, I want to see Ghostbusters in the theater, I got to see Ghostbusters in the theater.
Awesome.
So it was amazing. The next one they're going to do is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, fantastic.
For Christmas. So that's going to be, they haven't given a date yet on that.
Yep.
I think I have to call the theater because it's only the Framingham one and they're sort of testing the waters. They're not sure if, you know, the higher ups are going to let them continue to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to find out when that is, get the word out, get a ton of people to go, because it's the only way that they're going to continue to do it is if they're selling tickets.
Right. Yeah. And that sounds awesome. I would totally go see that.
Yeah. And the really cool thing is they did trivia before Ghostbusters. They did three trivia questions and you weren't allowed to answer more than one, but I got one right and my boyfriend got one right. So we both got a free movie ticket, free small popcorn, free small drink.
Nice.
So we can go back to the movies for free, which is just awesome. So they're going to do that, you know, at the beginning of every show too. So, you know, you have a chance to win a free movie ticket by going to the movies.
Yeah, they did that prior to Back to the Future as well. And they were actually giving out passes to go see Ghostbusters, but I wasn't quick enough to pull any of them off.
Yeah, I was sitting there in the theater. I'm not like wicked shy, but I'm not usually the type to raise my hand, but nobody knew any of the answers. So I'm like, fine, I'll just answer it.
That's shocking.
So, I know, it was kind of, I mean, they made it hard on purpose because they figured crazy Ghostbuster fans would be going to this and they probably know the easy questions.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you just watch the bonus features on the DVD, you'll know the answers. So, and I have, and I did, and now I get to go to the movies for free. So I'm set. Plus I got bragging rights because I got the trivia, right?
Oh, of course. Sweet. Well, then let's go into geek outs.
Yay!
What are you geeking out about?
I'm geeking out, and I'm going to say this in a low voice, about Super Mega Fest.
Yeah, I heard about that. I was just on the website the other day, actually.
Yeah, it's shockingly awesome. It has the worst name for a convention I've ever heard in my life.
Or best name.
Or best, depending on how you look at it. But, I'm wicked excited to see and hopefully maybe meet Christopher Lloyd, who is going to be there along with Leah Thompson and the DeLorean. So there's a lot of other cool stuff going on there too. It's like a, they call it a multimedia fan fest. It's not a comic book convention. It's TV, movies, and music. So there's a big, a major music festival going on at the same time, which I'm not all that interested in, but I guess I'm looking at it right now. I think Chewbacca's going to be there.
Peter Mayhew, yes.
Yeah, and Carol Spinney's going to be there, who I would love to shake his hand because I'm a huge Sesame Street fan. Mm. For anybody that doesn't know, he is Big Bird and Oscar. Let me see. Marina Sirtis, Counselor Deanna Troi of Star Wars Next Generation, is going to be there.
Yes.
So it's going to be a really good time. And if you buy just the standard ticket, it's only $20. So, you know, it's not going to kill your wallet either. If you want a guaranteed autograph from Leah Thompson and Christopher Lloyd, it's like $140. But for some reason, I think it's not going to be that crowded. And I think that the two of them are probably nice enough that they'll, you know, wait in line or, you know, wait for people in line to get their autographs. So that's sort of what I'm banking on because I'm not going to be paying the $140.
But, yeah. Well, I don't know about this for sure, but another co-host Scott Toomey is planning on going to Super Mega Fest, and he just tweeted out the other day that Leah Thompson will not be at Super Mega Fest because she's been removed from the website, I guess, where she was there originally.
Huh. Well, that sucks.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's definite or not, or if he was picking up on some bogus info, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, no offense to her, but I'm more excited to meet Christopher Lloyd anyway.
Well, yeah, Doc Brown. Come on.
Right. Exactly. I don't know. I think it's going to be a good time. And again, for $20, you know, if you get your peek at Christopher Lloyd and everything else is lame, just, you know, take off. But
sure.
But I will be there with a smile on my face and a camera in my hand.
Nice. Any other geek outs?
Not particularly. Still probably Harry Potter, like I was last time, because it hasn't come yet. But mostly it's Christopher Lloyd and I guess an overall geek out just about, you know, nostalgic movies. Cause seeing Ghostbusters in the theater was amazing. I got goosebumps when they come out of the mayor's office and the music Saving the Day kicks in. Yep. And Peter Venkman slams on the side of the car, you know, let's run some red lights. I'm just like, oh my God, I was so excited. I love that. It's my number two all time.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was really exciting for me to be able to go see that and just have, like, you know, the stereo music and the giant screen.
It is a whole different experience when you see it that way.
Absolutely.
Well, then I'll start chipping away at my extra long list of geek outs for this week. And maybe it's just because we didn't do a show last week, so I have them all stored up. But my biggest geek out is that my Blu-ray disc of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World came in the mail today and was waiting for me when I got home. Very excited.
I could tell. I could tell from your Facebook message.
Yeah. Did you see Scott Pilgrim at all?
I didn't, no.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Well, can I just actually interject here for a second?
Go right ahead.
Somebody had replied to your Facebook too, and you had, you know, initially, I think when you saw the movie in the theater, talked about your disappointment in the non-popularity of it. And
yes,
it's this amazing movie and it really hasn't gotten its justice. But as somebody that hasn't seen it, I've never even seen a commercial ad for it. So that would be, I would say, you know, the studio's fault because they didn't market that movie. And if they did, it was a bad enough trailer so that I thought it was like a romantic comedy and had no interest in it. I mean, I really had never heard of it until I started listening to your podcast. So it's not necessarily that the movie, you know, didn't get its justice. It's that somebody didn't put it out there. I mean, I literally I've never seen the trailer.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I mean, I don't see commercials anymore. I watch regular TV, so I don't know how often it got put out there and marketed. I saw all over the internet, though. But that could also be just the kind of sites that I visit it's going to be more prominent on.
Exactly. You were sort of looking for it.
It was targeted toward me.
Right, exactly. I mean, if they advertised it as, like you said, a video game romantic comedy, I think a lot more people would have gone to see it, but I never even heard of it. So
That's
the problem with that movie. And hopefully, you know, like you said too, that it'll get its cult status later on, but that's the studio's fault for not putting it out there.
Yeah. We can only hope that it will get a second life on DVD and Blu-ray. And actually that's exactly what I'll be doing after we're done this episode is popping in that and watching Scott Pilgrim. Cause I've been dying to ever since I saw it last in the theater. My next geek out is, believe it or not, SmackDown vs. Raw 2011, which I picked up, I believe, what was it, last week? And I wasn't sure how much I'd be digging it since I really am not watching WWE anymore. Mm-hmm. But I am still enjoying the game. There are some things that they finally did right that I have been wanting them to do for a while. But then again, every step they take forward, they also seem to take a step back every year and screw something else up that was working just fine. Like now they have one counter button instead of two. So now I guess people playing online have run into the problem of basically going back and forth with counters and nobody ever actually does anything because it's just too easy to counter.
Right.
But something they did correctly is finally adding a button which allows you to pin mid-move or activate the pin mid-move. There are no moves that end in a pin anymore. You actually have to activate it, and if you don't, it'll just end up like a slam or whatever. But if you do hit the pin button, it'll transition into a pinning type slam instead, which is really cool. So that's nice.
Cool.
But it's a little give and take. I am still enjoying the game, though. The one thing I really am getting annoyed by is playing the Road to WrestleMania mode, because in the past, it was just you go from one match to the other. Now they have a whole like backstage third-person mechanic where you walk around to the next task and you earn a lot of your experience by picking fights with people backstage, and it just gets monotonous.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I just want to go to the next match and kick ass.
Right. It's like those competitive reality shows we were talking about. It's like, can we just see the competitive part and not all the drama?
Yeah, I don't need to go through all the backstage mumbo-jumbo. I just want to go to the next challenge.
Right.
My other video game geek out is Super Street Fighter 4, which I know came out like almost a year ago, but it was on sale for $20 or $17, something crazy low on Amazon a week or two ago. So I ordered that and I've been playing that and actually really enjoying it, especially playing online. I expected a lot more lag, but it's actually really fluid combat online.
Nice.
And something that's that timing based and that quick reaction time wise. I really thought I was going to have issues playing that way, but it's a good game and it makes me look that much more forward to Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Nice.
Coming up pretty soon, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, which is what, next Tuesday it's coming out. And I am still debating whether or not I'm going to pre-order. I'm pretty sure I'm getting the game at some point. I'm not sure if I necessarily want to buy it now. But then they throw all those pre-order bonuses at you. And it's hard to pass them up, you know?
Yeah. Especially this time of year, because I'm feeling a lot of pressure from my friends and family to not buy anything. Because they don't know what to get me for Christmas.
Right.
So they're like, don't buy anything. But, you know, like you said, if you don't pre-order it, then you don't get all the extra stuff.
Right. And I can't put things off for that long because my birthday is late January. So if I stopped buying things now, I'm like stuck out of a game for 3 months. It's ridiculous. I can't deal with that. But last thing on my geek out list is Megamind. Have you seen trailers for that?
It looks cute.
It does.
It looks really funny, yeah.
I really, really want to see it. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm dying to because I think it looks awesome.
Yeah, I do. I think that looks really funny. It's a really neat concept. I think it's going to be a really funny movie.
Yeah, it's a comedy, but it actually explores something I'd like to see explored in a more serious manner at the same time. Like, what if the villain won and killed off the hero? Then
right.
What?
Right. Yeah, because we all know not always good things happen.
Sure. But, I mean, clearly this one's going to take a much more humorous and good guy turning in, or bad guy turning into good guy. We know it's going to happen already. It doesn't even matter. But
right.
I still think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, I think that movie looks awesome, too. I'm definitely interested in going to see that.
Yeah. That's my last geek out, though. So, what do you have for freakouts?
Oh, that's it?
That's all I got.
You don't have any more?
No. I'll stop my list there. That's the most I've ever had. I was geeking out all over the place.
Geeking out all over the place. Geekasm.
That's right.
Oh, freakout!
I don't really have any freakouts, honestly. It's, I guess I'm freaking out about the holidays a little bit. This is more on a personal, you know, like we said, sometimes you want to just talk about yourself and not the video games and stuff, but...
Sure, I've certainly gone there before.
Yeah, it's, you know, the time changed on Sunday, and it's been raining since that happened.
Yeah.
And I live, for all of you that don't know this, I live in a basement. So I suffer from seasonal depressive disorder all year because I don't ever get to see the sun. So now that it's dark when I come home from work, too, it's just like, oh, really? You know, and it's just kind of... I mean, I just freaked out a little bit before about the holidays, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas just being piled on top of each other and mashed together and having some financial issues this year. So don't know really what I'm going to do about presents and I don't know.
You apparently need some sun lamps and palm trees in there, even if they're fake.
I do. I definitely need. People have suggested those light bulbs for me. I guess they have like vitamin D bulbs or something. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's just weird. It's just a weird time of year. And not to get super depressing, but I lost my grandfather in July, so it's going to be my first Christmas without him there. So I'm just not looking forward to it like I usually am. I just kind of want maybe like March to come overnight would be good. Like, can we just skip over everything?
You can't skip over my birthday.
All right, well, I'll pause my time machine on Rob's birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a big one this year. I'm scared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as you think it's going to be.
No, you don't know. You're not there yet.
No, but I have a brother and a sister.
That's true.
Been there and gone.
Yeah.
So.
Making me feel old.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like it.
Happens every year, Rob.
I know.
That's another reason, you know, New Year. Oh, I hate New Year's Eve. Everybody's like, yay, a new start. I'm like, no, it's a year gone. I'm older. Like, I think it's the most depressing holiday ever.
That's awfully pessimistic.
Oh, it's awful. I hate that night. I hate it.
You really need to get out of that basement.
I do. I need windows. Like, it's nobody's business.
I just don't care for it much because it's the probably the biggest, well, maybe not the biggest, maybe the second biggest after the 4th of July of the alcohol holidays.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, so much so that you actually get a day off after. Because if you think about it, like, most of the time you get a day off, it's because of like a religious or governmental holiday, like, you know, Veterans Day. A lot of people have this Thursday off. It's like a kind of an important, you know, cause. You're honoring your veterans. That's great. Or a religious holiday like Christmas. But what is New Year's Day? It's the first day of the year.
I know.
Why do we have that off? Yeah. Why do we have that off? We have that off so that everybody can stay up and party and drink the night before. That's why we have that day off.
Our society is far too accommodating to the boozers.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Well, then I'll move on to my freakouts before I get into a super rant, as I've been known to about those type of things. my first freakout this week is last week I was talking, or not last week, but last show, I was talking about the fact that Ralph Sorella, a member of the Howard Stern Show, was following me on Twitter because of my making the Eric the Midget head exploding on Fringe video for him.
Yes.
And he has since stopped following me on Twitter. So I don't think I'm necessarily a bad tweeter. I just think he really followed me just to remember to give me credit for creating the video on his show, which, if you heard the clips from last show, he didn't necessarily do entirely. So, I don't know. I was a little bummed. I had a feeling it wasn't going to last that long, but it ended too soon.
Yeah, you said he was super picky. So,
he is.
Yeah. You should have like thrown him another video or something funny to get him to keep him interested.
Yeah, I thought maybe that was his other reason for continuing to follow me, is in case he got like another idea, he had a resource to go to that could get it done.
Right. It seems like that would be a very good idea. Well, maybe he, you know, has your name down somewhere, but he's just so picky about who gets to actually be on his whatever, I don't tweet, on his list, whatever you call it.
Yeah, very possible, but I'm not too hurt. I was feeling lucky for the few weeks that it happened, and I'll hold on to that special time we shared together.
There you go. Well, you know, if he thinks he's too good for you, then, you know, he's just a snob anyways. So
he knows he's a snob.
He's a tweet snob. You don't need him.
It's true. Well, he knows it, and he's self-admitted as a tweet snob. So my other freak out actually relates to Smallville, and I was geeking out about it recently because it was so good and coming on so strong at the beginning of the season. And while it's still good, things are moving far too slowly at this point. And it's the last season. You can't spend a whole episode doing some obscure storyline just to prove one tiny plot point that you're going to bring up at the end. I don't like it when shows do that.
Yeah. Now, how many episode of a, you know, episode streak has this been? How many?
This has been at least two or three episodes of this pattern happening so far, and they're only about five or six into this current season.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to see it pick up all sorts of quick.
So they lured you in, and then they're going to make you sit and wait, and then like the last three episodes are going to blow your mind. That's what's going
to
happen.
They'd better. And I don't even want to wait for the last three episodes to blow my mind. I want my mind blown on a weekly basis.
We know.
It's the final season. And the first two episodes were like huge. And now they're taking their sweet ass time and just diddling out things really slow. I don't know. It's ticking me off a little bit.
The writers got really excited and they crammed everything to like 4 hours. And then they went, oh, crap, we need to do, you know, 20 episodes.
I think they did. I don't need to see an episode about Lois and Clark going to some Amish farm where there's blue kryptonite and Clark loses his powers for the whole episode. I don't want to see Superman without powers anymore. They've done it enough. I watch the show because it's about a guy that has superpowers.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Don't need it. But Smallville, wise up, please.
Listen to us.
That's right. We've influenced movie theaters.
That's right. The AMC in Framingham, Massachusetts.
There we go. That's all I got for freakouts, though. It's actually much shorter than my geekout list.
All right. Well, that's good. That's a positive thing.
So yeah. You're still
positive. My freakout was pretty negative, but you offset it with your not so many freakouts.
Yeah, I guess. I'm still feeling negative, though. I don't know why. Maybe it's your seasonal depression wearing off on me.
I just dragged you down. This is like people are going to go and, you know, drown themselves in their sorrows after this episode.
Wow. Well, then I guess we need to do something fun.
All right.
Like maybe play top three.
Three. Two. One.
Oh, jeez. I blew it last time. I blew it.
What are you talking about? You had three answers, like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I know. My third one was awful. I stand by my first two. My third one was awful.
No take backsies.
No take backs?
Nope. You got to live with it. Sorry.
Damn.
Oh, well.
Can I just give you a little hint?
Okay.
Okay. I have a Final Fantasy character tattooed to my back, and I didn't name him.
How do you forget that?
I don't know. He's on my back. I can't see back there.
Is it a chocobo?
It was the pressure. No, it's Mog the Moogle. Yeah, you don't play the games.
No, I don't.
Anybody that plays them knows who Mog the Moogle is. But yeah. It was the pressure. You do a very good job at applying the pressure.
I do. Yeah. I'm a doctor of the airwaves. And the interwebs. Okay. Well, then, for this week's top three, last time, we had talked a little bit about the Harry Potter movies, and you mentioned something major in Prisoner of Azkaban that they just royally screwed up with, what was it, Harry's dad?
Yes.
So we're going to flip that around for top three this week, and I'm going to ask you the top three things that the Harry Potter movies have done really well.
Okay. Okay, I can do this.
Okay.
All right. One would be the set. Everything looks perfect. Hogwarts Castle looks perfect. Their costumes, at least, you know, before they started wearing regular street clothes in the first few movies, they wore robes and ties and with their badges and everything. And that's all perfect. I mean, their Quidditch uniforms, everything, like I said, the castle, the broomsticks, the village that he lives in London. I mean, everything set-wise, visually, is awesome and perfect. Yeah. The second, I would probably say the cast, particularly in the first two movies. I'm not crazy about the new Dumbledore, but obviously that's nobody's fault because the man died.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do?
But the original Dumbledore was 100% perfect. Professor McGonagall is perfect. Hagrid is perfect. So I would say the casting was really, really good. I mean, you sort of picture those people in your head when you're reading the book.
Hermione is perfect because they pick someone who is going to grow up hot.
Hot, and she was really, I mean, she plays, Hermione is a sort of snooty, know-it-all, but she's that way because she's self-conscious, so she's really good, too. I mean, people have picked on her for not being a very good actress, but I think she makes a great Hermione. Like, she may not be good in another film, but she makes a really good Hermione because that's kind of, she's more, a little bit timid and...
I don't know how you can really throw out the criticism on her acting, because what have we even seen her in, aside from Harry Potter?
No, I think she's great. I just think that there's a general consensus online that she's not a very good actress. Yeah. I have no problems with her. I like her. But, I mean, Ron, Harry, and Hermione are... they're just perfect, you know? And they were all pretty much unknowns. I think Hermione was in, like, one tiny little role before that, and I think Ron was in a really small role in like an obscure British movie before that. Harry was a total unknown.
Yep.
So they did a great job on those three kids, and pretty much everybody in the movie I think is just phenomenal, and exactly, they just play the characters so perfectly.
Sure.
Okay.
So you got set, you got characters, don't screw up number three.
I know. I have a bad track record with number three. Third thing that they did right...
And clearly I would know. I'm taking your word on these things because I haven't even read the books. So the translation means nothing to me. If I like the movie, I like the movie.
Right. I want to say the theme music, except it's gone downhill.
Really?
Yeah. Well, John Williams doesn't do it anymore.
Right.
He did, like, I think the first two or three. But the music is awesome. And then they still use John Williams' main theme song.
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's that did carry through. So, I mean, the music is awesome. I had the first three on CD and, you know, listen to it in the background while I fall asleep. I have done that. I don't do that all the time.
But liar.
I don't.
You just switch it up with other movies.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and video game soundtracks. Don't lie.
Okay, I might have like 7 CDs of Final Fantasy music.
I figured.
Yeah, something like that. So I'm going to say those three things. I mean, they're pretty, to put the three of those together, and you make pretty epic films. If you have the set and the cast and the music, can't really go wrong.
Sweet. Well, that's fairly good. We'll see if that holds up between now and the next time you're on. You're like, crap!
God damn it!
Crap, I have something else tattooed on me that I forgot
about.
Yeah,
I know. My little sister pointed it out to me. She's like, Anna, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. What was I thinking?
Uh-oh, you have the family listening?
Yes. Yeah, that's... Holly. I don't know. You remember Holly.
Sure.
She was the princess at our party. Mm-hmm. She's 19.
That's weird.
Yeah. Right?
Mm.
And little Robin?
Mm-hmm.
She was Toadie?
Mm-hmm.
She's 15 and taller than me. So.
That's funny.
But they're following in my footsteps. They're both huge video game fans. So I think Holly's been enjoying the show. And Robin's too busy with school because she's a brainiac. But
oh, well then.
Yeah.
Someone had to be different. Oh!
Oh!
Yikes.
That wasn't very
I know.
Oh, and on another family video game note, if you recall, my older sister was pregnant at that party, so she played Mario because Mario is fat. and it's kind of cute because my nephew, who's 5 now, was Mario for Halloween this year.
Nice.
So he wore the same hat that his mommy wore, and he was adorable and looked awesome, and all the kids loved him because he looked awesome.
It all comes around.
It does. Full circle.
Now, what they should have done is had the little one be Mario before the Super Mushroom, and then could be Super Mario.
Right.
That would have been perfect.
Except she's not fat anymore.
Well, yeah, but... You got to work with what you got.
Yeah, stuff pillows in there or something.
All right, well, then I'm going to put out to the fans one more time that if they have any suggestions for top three categories, they can send those into podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on the Twitter. And with that, we are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
We all know the best podcast in the world is
The Geek Generation.
But what you might not know is there are other ones, such as...
Like you and me, Hector and Todd. Dangerous Memory.
That's right.
We're reviewing the AFI Top 100, and we're bringing you new episodes every Wednesday. Come check us out on www.hectorandtodd.com.
So, Anna.
Yes?
Christmas is on the way.
It is.
It is.
Stressful time of year.
Yeah, where do you do most of your Christmas shopping?
I do my shopping on Amazon.com because I can do all my shopping from the couch.
Really? Well, that's very convenient.
It is. It is. It takes the stress out of the holidays.
Did you know that the Geek Generation is an affiliate of Amazon.com?
I did not know that, Rob.
You didn't? Well, what you can do to help the Geek Generation is go to www.thegeekgeneration.com, click the Amazon button, which will take you right to Amazon, and when you buy all the Christmas presents that you're going to buy, you'll actually be earning us a commission as well.
That sounds too easy.
So go to thegeekgeneration.com, use that Amazon.com button, and make us some money while you're doing your Christmas shopping.
It's super easy, and if you don't do it, you're a bad friend.
Hi, this is John Schneider, you know, the Bo Duke guy, or the Smallville guy, Jonathan Kent. And you're listening to The Geek Generation. That's not my generation. That's your generation.
We are back, and before we get into listener emails and news and all that stuff, I want to give a quick site update just to everyone that does visit the site on a regular basis. I am going to start slowly pulling back from the amount of content that I post on the site, I think, because I started it back in December, and we're almost back around to a year of running the site, and tomorrow, well, whatever the next post I put up is, will be my 600th article on the site. And that's an insane amount of writing and reporting that I do. But the problem is that I'm really running out of time to get all that stuff accomplished. I've had to stop working out for the most part. I've had to stop doing a lot of the things that I enjoy doing, like all the video games and the movies that got me into this stuff. I don't even have time for anymore. So I'm going to start taking a little step back from the site. I'm still going to update things, but it's not going to be as frequently as I have been. I'm going to have a lot less tedious news, probably less movie trailers, only the stuff that I'm really excited about. Unless, of course, there are people out there that, like I ask for every week, if they'd like to contribute, that's absolutely fine. And when I started up the site, I did have a team of about 5 or 6 different people that were regularly submitting things. And now it's really just myself and maybe one other person that even submits any articles. So I can't keep up at the pace anymore with my full-time job and everything. It was one thing when I was unemployed. I had all the time in the world. But now it's getting to a point where it's actually affecting my health too. Because sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you don't want to end up an actual gamer geek and be like covered in acne and weigh 500 pounds sitting in front of the computer.
I don't need that.
Go to the gym, Rob. Go.
It's even more than that. I went to a neurologist last week because of my vertigo that started up last February. And I think that was partially as a result of being at the computer so much and starting up the site. And I have an MRI scheduled for Thursday to scan my brain and everything. So I do need to take a step back from the site a little bit. But if you see things slowing down and the articles coming out less frequently, don't worry. I'm not totally disappearing. I just need to get everything in check and make sure that I'm taking care of myself so I can provide the kind of entertainment that you all look forward to. Ding. That was my smile, yes, with the shiny tooth. Yes. It was, yeah.
I could tell.
Yeah, oh, good. I'm creating a whole theater of the mind here.
Exactly.
I also want to remind all the listeners about the 2x500 contest that's still running on the site and will be until the end of the year. Our current Facebook count, I don't even have the numbers in front of me. I'm not going to bother looking them up right now. But
they could always be bigger.
They could always be bigger, and we need to hit 500 on both Facebook and Twitter in order for that gift card to be given away. So if you are a fan of the site or the show, please send that to your friends on Facebook and your followers on Twitter. Let's get those numbers up, because the more people we have involved, the more fun this will be for everybody, I would hope. So let's talk a little bit about a movie I saw recently. I don't know if you saw it. I'm guessing you have not, since you never go to the theaters anymore.
I haven't seen it, but I really want to. And it's between this movie and Red for my free movie ticket.
Ah, well.
So it's on the fence for me.
I saw both.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like my opinion, I would actually go see Red.
Okay.
But it all depends what mood you're in, too.
Right.
Because Jackass 3D was hilarious.
That's awesome.
It was. It wasn't as good as the first two, but one of the things I really, really enjoyed about it is the fact that it was in 3D, and even though I've been complaining about 3D, I think this is the last 3D movie I'll ever go to, because I really just wanted to see someone exploit the technology and just poke fun at the whole gimmick of 3D technology.
Right. Well, people with attitudes like you and I, who don't particularly like 3D, would love somebody that would poke fun at it and exploit it. So that makes total sense.
Yeah, and I guess there were certain things taken out. I have a friend that saw the 2D version only, and they did actually pull a lot of the content from it. Well, not a lot, but they pulled things that were the exploitive 3D things, because in 2D it just wouldn't make sense.
Right. Now, I was interested to hear your opinion on this, because I actually read an article in Rolling Stone about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think that just the way the movie was put together, that this is going to be the last one. Did you get that vibe as well? Did you get that impression that this was going to be it?
During all the bits and the things that they were doing throughout the movie, it doesn't necessarily give that impression. The ending sequence and credits do.
Okay.
It really feels like a wrap-up and a look back, and it's odd, because I was watching Jackass and I was in Jackass mode, and all of a sudden I'm like, aw.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that kind of an ending, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they said they did some kind of like a best of montage.
Yeah, it kind of was like that. And I'm not going to say too much about it for people that don't want to. I mean, I guess you can't really spoil the an ending montage, but there's no huge twists or anything. But I heard both, Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, and Bam Margera were all on Howard Stern's show in the last few weeks in separate appearances. And they all said, yeah, there's still the possibility we could do another one. Like, they didn't think they were going to do two. They didn't think they were going to do three. But it keeps happening. So they're not ruling out another. But the way the movie is presented, it feels like they would be okay walking away at this point.
Okay. And how do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it. I think that, well, for one, I don't want to see them kill themselves anymore, because there's got to be a point when you walk away. I mean, I probably have another year or two of me of pro wrestling, and then I'll be done with it. And it'll be sad to walk away from it, but you can only do that kind of stuff for so long. And then you really just have to think about what your quality of life is going to be after that. And it is getting to a point where, yeah, they're still kind of like the goofy, kiddish mentality, but they're also starting to look their age. And at some point, it's going to be sad if it keeps going on. So I think they would be very justified in probably making the right decision if they just called it quits after this.
I feel the same way. I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but reading the article, they said, I mean, the Rolling Stone article said that they're already starting to lose it, which I don't believe. Just from the previews, I don't believe it. I think people like to be critical, you know, if they're writing an article.
Right.
But you know, thinking about it, yeah, do you want to watch these guys doing this when they're 60? Probably not. So I'd rather see them go out on a high note.
Yeah.
So I think I'd be sad if this was the last one just because there won't be any more. But at the same time, like you said, I think it's like, oh, well, okay. You know, it's acceptable, I think, after three movies to be done with it. Because you wouldn't want to see them go out, you know, in shame. You want to see them go out with a bang.
Right. Well, the other nice thing, too, is that they have already said there's going to be, I think it was Bam that said it on the show, there will be a Jackass 3.5 in the same way that there was a 2.5 and all the extra stuff that just didn't make it into the movie is long enough for a whole separate straight-to-DVD release. So at least we'll have that as like a cap-off if this is really the end of it.
Yeah, that was Oz. Watched 2.5. It was on the Instant Watch on Netflix.
Yep.
So we caught that. That was pretty awesome. It's just one of those things you kind of want to just keep seeing more and more and more. I mean, you can never really get tired of it because they're all the gags are different, but they're all hilarious.
Right. And you know someone else is going to kind of pick up the torch and do something similar. Like they did Wild Boys for a little while. Nitro Circus on, I don't even remember what channel that was on. Maybe MTV. It was very similar in style to Jackass. And there will be, I mean, granted, these guys are the originals of, I don't even know what to call it. But they are the originals of this format that at least made it mainstream and popular. So who knows? It will be sad to see them go, but there will be more things coming in the future from other related artists. Is that the word?
Artist? I don't know. No, definitely not.
Performers?
There you go.
Yeah, that's probably a little more
that's
accurate.
That's better.
Dumbasses? Yeah. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed it for what it was.
That's good.
Yeah. I feel like I cut you off. You were going to say something.
Well, yes, I was going to brag about my special edition Jackass Converse high tops that I own.
Really?
Yeah, they're awesome. They're black. They have the Converse thing on the inside, and they have the Jackass symbol on the outside.
Are those old?
I love them. They might be like 3 or 4 years old.
Oh,
they probably came out around the time of the second movie.
I never even saw them before.
They're awesome. They're my favorite shoes.
They're awesome.
They're wonderful. I love them. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. You feel free to brag. I mean, geeks brag. That's part of the show.
And I'm a girl with Jackass chucks.
Yeah.
I have to bring it up.
That's worth bragging.
Right.
Well, then let's take a look at some of the listener emails. The last time we were on, we asked the audience who's the hottest chick in Hollywood. Before I go into the listener emails, I know you weren't going to write in for this one, but I didn't know if you had an opinion you wanted to throw out there anyway.
Oh, goodness.
Or even a criticism of our lists.
I had a problem with one of Mike's choices.
Oh.
I can't stand Gwyneth Paltrow. I would not be sad if she disappeared off the face of the planet and I never saw her again. I don't think she's hot. I think she's downright funny looking, and I don't like her. And she's the only thing I didn't like about the Iron Man movies.
You have the same reaction to her that I do to Uma Thurman.
Cannot stand Gwyneth Paltrow. I hate her stupid face. There, I said it.
Point taken. Well, then, let's take a look at what the bevy of males wrote in to say. There were no female entries.
Wow, that's shocking.
Yeah, right? I know. The first one comes in from @XanderHarris, who is Brian Lipsitz, another co-host occasionally of the show. He said, Kristen Bell is hands down the hottest chick in Hollywood.
What? What?
She's not a bad-looking girl, but
hottest chick in Hollywood?
Yeah.
She's cuter than I am, but hottest chick in Hollywood?
She wasn't on my list, so clearly I can't. It's kind of hard for me to put a lot of input in here because I already gave my top 10, and if they're not on there, then they're kind of out of my range.
Next.
The next one comes in from Ryan Ellis. He simply says, Scarlett Johansson.
I'm going to go with you on Scarlett Johansson. I don't think she's an unattractive lady. I thought she was probably at her cutest in Iron Man 2, but there's something funny about her face.
Yeah, Mike had her pretty high up, I believe, and she just doesn't do it for me.
No, I mean, again, she's real life pretty. If you saw her on the street, she'd probably be one of the prettiest people you've ever seen, but she's not Hollywood pretty. And I think that you were talking Hollywood level hotness.
Well, yeah, to say you're in Hollywood is to put yourself on that pedestal or that level of competition, I guess you could call it.
Right. So I would say Scarlett Johansson is real life pretty. Not so much Hollywood.
I agree with that. I know. I'm sure there are lots of people who would disagree, but clearly there are lots of people. But
and people are scoffing at my opinion right now, going, what the hell does she know? But giving you my non-sexual opinion, I'm giving you who I think is the nicest looking person.
The artistic aesthetic opinion.
Right, so maybe I do have a valid point because I'm taking the penis out of the equation.
There you go. Yeah. No penis factored in.
Penis.
None.
Right.
The next one comes in from superfan Chris Tong. And he says, call me nuts, but I'm going to have to go with Charlize Theron. I've always thought she was smoking hot, except in Monster, yuck. The Italian Job, Aeon Flux, Hancock, Mighty Joe Young. And in 2012, we'll see her in the new Mad Max movie. Can't wait. Honorable mentions go to Queen Latifah, Rosie O'Donnell, Whoopi Goldberg, and Sandra Bernhardt. Yeah, boy! Chris from Wichita, Kansas, a.k.a. Wichititty. Clearly, he was joking about those last few names, but Charlize Theron is in no doubt a hot chick, but I think she's past her prime.
She is gorgeous. I haven't really seen her in anything since Hancock, which she played a mom. So, I mean, not that moms can't be sexy, but maybe, you know, that would lean towards she's headed in that other direction. I think she's gorgeous, though. She's a really pretty lady.
See? Anna can say girls are hot, too.
I can admit it. I don't hate everyone.
Not everyone.
Most.
Although the seasonal depression makes the hatred grow.
Well, we've already discussed my alpha female Wonder Woman syndrome.
I'm this is true.
Little anti-other girls, but...
Why, it was you and a group of guys in college.
Right, exactly.
And no other girls allowed.
No other girls allowed. As soon as somebody got a girlfriend, it was like, she has got to get out.
I am not okay with this.
I am not okay with this.
The next one comes in from Ryan Higgins. He says, how the hell are we supposed to pick just one? You can make a whole top 10 list, but we can only pick one. Not fair. I'll address that part first. Ryan, when you get your own show and your own website that you dump hours and hours of time into, you feel free to make your own top 10 list, and I will gladly take a look at it. Plus, you know, I do give out that email address every week, guest@thegeekgeneration.com. If you really have that strong an opinion, submit an article. I'll take a look. Maybe I'll even post it. Who knows? Not
Bazinga.
Like anyone's done that, so bam!
Bazinga!
To continue, he says, fine. To go with a girl, I am betting nobody else will choose. My current favorite is Nina Dubrev. Google image search. Boom. You're welcome. I have no idea who the hell that is.
Mm-mm. How do you spell it?
Nina, N-I-N-A, Dobrev, D-O-B-R-E-V. I did do a Google image search, and I thought, yeah, she's attractive, but she looks really young.
Let's see.
I can hear typity-typity-typity.
Tippity-tip-clickity-click-click. The vampire. Ooh, she does look like she's 12.
The vampire?
Vampire Diaries.
Oh, horrible CW shows.
Yeah, she looks 12. She's cute for a 12-year-old. No, sometimes she looks a little older than that.
You aiming a little she's low, cute. Higgins?
She's cute.
Jailbait.
She gets my cute vote.
Yeah, but cute is not hot.
Nope.
Well, then, let's take a look at the last listener response, and this comes in from G1, who says, I really like Anne Hathaway, my two cents. Felicia Day is cute, too.
I don't know who Felicia Day is. Anne Hathaway, I like her as an actress, and she can be really pretty sometimes.
Yeah, I actually, she was a consideration for my list, and I would probably put her as an honorable mention.
Yeah, she came into my acceptable woman category when she did Get Smart. Mm. I thought she was great in that movie. She was hilarious, and it got her out of her, Disney/Devil Wears Prada role.
Sure.
So I thought that she was awesome in that movie, and she is really cute.
All right, well, those are our listener responses. So let's take it right into news then. top story this week, we got a first look at Chris Evans as Captain America on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. There are a bunch of other photos from the set, but clearly people are focused on the costume. The way it stands right now, we didn't get to see any version of the classic mask, but it was a part of the original concept art, so I'd imagine we're going to see it in the near future, I'm hoping.
I hope so. I left a comment about that. I'm appalled by his hair, and I want it covered up in that mask immediately.
Well, yeah, it's an odd hairstyle for him, but for the time period, it makes sense.
Does it, though? Were soldiers, did soldiers have to shave back then? Yes, no?
I don't know if it... I'm just thinking more like the general population. I wasn't even thinking a soldier perspective, but yeah, he probably, I guess, should have it kind of buzzed down.
Yeah, not a fan. It's not hairy. His chest is not hairy enough, and his head is too hairy.
What about the costume itself that we did
see? The costume looked pretty cool.
I think they did a really nice job of grounding it in something that would be acceptable.
Yeah, they didn't screw it up too much.
Yeah, the whole premise with the costume in the movie is that apparently he gets a costume as a USO entertainer, and he is Captain America as like this mascot almost for the army. But then when he does the whole super soldier thing, that costume kind of adapts into his superhero costume. So I think that's a good way to approach it.
Yeah, definitely. It's still colorful, which is nice. A lot of times in these like recent superhero movies, they tend to tone everything down a little bit to make it, you know, quote unquote, a little more realistic. So I kind of like that it's still really bright red, white, and blue.
Yeah, if you got rid of that, then you don't even have Captain America anymore.
Right.
Kind of a necessity.
Yeah.
According to various sources, Martin Sheen is in final talks to play Uncle Ben in Mark Webb's Spider-Man reboot. Also, while not yet 100% definite, it appears that Sally Field has been offered the role of Aunt May. Should she accept, Field and Sheen will join a cast that includes Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker / Spider-Man, Emma Stone as the love interest Gwen Stacy, and Rhys Ifans as the movie's unnamed villain. Spider-Man is currently set for a July 3rd, 2012 release. I know you have some strong opinions about this.
I do. Well, Martin Sheen and Sally Field are both awesome, and I think that they would make good, you know, Uncle Ben's and Aunt May's, given the circumstances be a little different.
Agreed.
But I'm still totally put off by the whole thing. I mean, I like action movies. If you break it right down, maybe I'll want to see it. But I'm so put off by it that I don't want to see it because, you know, it might be a different thing if Tobey Maguire, you know, passed away or if it was 20 years from now and couldn't do it anymore. But, you know, it's a generational thing. He's our Spider-Man. And it's just silly to replace him. It's just not going to feel right. I mean, we've talked, you know, about the Hulk and the whole problem with, you know, you get a sort of an emotional or at least a mental attachment to someone. This new guy isn't Spider-Man. He's not going to be, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be really odd. And by having Uncle Ben and Aunt May cast, you know, at least by Uncle Ben being in the movie, we know we're going to get another origin story.
Right. So what's the point? It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's one thing if they start doing, you know, Superman again, because obviously Christopher Reeve is gone. That was a long, long time ago. But you can't do it a couple of years later. It's just stupid. Like, I have no interest in it. I'm annoyed by it. And there's so many other superheroes. You don't make a superhero movie. Just do something different. Don't do Spider-Man. It's just lame.
Yeah, they do have a lot of other properties they could go with, but I think they just see Spider-Man as such a money pit that they can just pull money out of. So they're going to keep tapping into that until it's dry.
Yeah, well, they're not getting any of mine.
I'll go see it. I'm not gonna lie, I'll go. Absolutely.
I know you will. I'll probably rent it. I'll admit that. I'll probably rent it.
We're all suckers anyway.
I know.
Next story, Hulu Plus service is coming soon to all PS3 owners. Hulu Plus subscription service has been available since July to select PlayStation Plus subscribers via PS3, but starting next week, PS3 system owners with a free PlayStation Network account can download and subscribe to the Hulu Plus service, accessing it under the video icon on the XMB menu. Hulu Plus is still in preview, and subscriptions are available from Hulu, for $9.99 per month. Any thoughts?
I think it's great that they're extending that service to the free online people, but at the same time, it still costs $10. So, I mean, Hulu is supposed to be free. It's like anything. It's like net zero back in the day. It was supposed to be free, mm-hmm. and now it's costing money. You know, and between on-demand, which most people have, not all people have, but most people have, it's just, I mean, it's definitely not something I'm going to participate in. I don't have an extra $10 a month. You know, you pay $8 to $12 for Netflix, and then you pay, you know, X much to your Xbox, and then you're paying $10 to your Hulu, and mm-hmm. you're paying, I mean, it just gets excessive, and I think that, I mean, as much as everybody hates the ads, I'd rather have free Hulu with a couple of commercials thrown in than pay $10 a month for Hulu.
Well, Hulu's going to remain totally free on the computer.
Right.
It's putting it on the television through the PlayStation that's going to cost you the $9.99 or viewing it through iPad. But I'm not going to totally knock it either because it is a pretty good substitute for paying the ridiculous amount of money that cable probably costs.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to use it as a cable replacement, it makes sense. I mean, I don't think it's like a bad idea. It's definitely something I'm not going to participate in. But, you know, for people that it's convenient to use. I mean, like you use Skype for your phone. You know, mm-hmm. if right now I'm living in an apartment where I pay one bill and I get everything. I get HDTV. I get, you know, my internet and everything. So it's just not worth it to me. But I suppose if, like, you didn't have cable, it would be a good idea.
Yeah, I've considered it. I'm not sure I watch enough TV to even merit the $9.99 per month. I could still just easily watch TV right on my computer if I wanted to, or hook my tower right up to my TV. Granted, those of the people out there, the non-geeks, are going to have to look for an alternative like Hulu Plus to use that, but I don't even think they're going to go that route. I think that's still too complicated for them. So it's kind of like a weird middle ground between the people who are making all the efforts to get it on their computer versus the people who are just going to pay for cable.
Yeah. Well, the chances are, too, if you have a PS3, you probably do have a tower you can plug into the TV. We do. That's how we watch our Hulus on the, you know, 42 or 46 or however big my television is.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's all I have. You know, I live in a basement. I have no windows, but I have my damn home theater. Okay, Rob?
Well, then find a high-def Blu-ray disc that just has a 24-hour projection of the sun.
Right. I should.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for my dogs because they don't even get to go to work. They're just down there all the time.
Brutal.
I know. It should be like in Back to the Future 2 with the shades, where the shades projected like beach scenes, remember?
There you go.
Yeah, I need those. When are they going to come? We got 5 years, 2015. 5 years
Screw
away. We need
hoverboards. That. I think hoverboards,
flying cars.
Yeah.
They got 5 years to work on this stuff.
Hoverboard's the priority.
Yeah. Yeah, I want one of those.
Yeah. In the worst way.
I want a flying car, but I want to be the only one with a flying car.
So you can get shot down by missiles?
No, just so that there's no traffic, but just for me.
Mm.
Because if everybody had a flying car, it'd be just as infuriating as driving.
I think we have enough accidents on the road. I don't think people are going to be handling flying cars anytime
soon.
Right,
exactly. So if I could just have one, or maybe I'll learn how to fly a helicopter.
There you go.
Yeah.
Need a helicopter. With all that extra money you got.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If Giselle can learn, I can learn.
What? Who?
Giselle, that model, the Victoria's Secret model, married to Tom Brady.
She can fly a helicopter?
She can fly a helicopter.
Huh.
Yeah, when they got married, they decided it would be easier to travel by helicopter, so she learned. She learned in Plymouth.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow. I might have to do a list of helicopter flying hotties next.
Right. There will be one, right? Giselle, only blonde Victoria's Secret model that knows how to fly a helicopter. I'm actually wicked impressed.
That is impressive.
A little scared, but mostly impressed.
Because you don't picture model and, like, pilot.
No.
Huh. All right. Next story. MGM sets next Bond film for November 2012 release. Despite MGM's recently announced financial troubles, the studio has set plans in motion to bring back the James Bond franchise. New James Bond films may be released every second year, starting in November 2012, MGM said. It aims to own 50% of Bond 23, due out that year, with an equal partner paying all the production costs. Later Bond movies would be wholly owned and funded by MGM, the company said. So despite all the troubles that Bond films have been running into over the past, I don't know, year with all the news going back and forth, we finally are getting confirmation that there will be another James Bond.
I think that's awesome. I think that it's got, James Bond has like the opposite problem that we were talking about with Jackass, where it's like, you know, it could get old, let's respectfully, you know, let it go. Because right. there's so many of them now that you can't. It can yeah. never end. It has to go on forever.
There will always be a new James Bond there and will, a new James Bond story to tell.
Right, and they can never come up with something to end it. You know, it's like they took itself, once you get past five, it's like there's no turning back. You just got to keep going.
I can't wait until the James Bonds that we're going to see in like 2050.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to be sick.
Yeah.
Because if their gadgets back in the 70s was like, whoa, look at that. What is it going to be in the future?
And how many Bonds will they be on at that point?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be literally like until, you know, the apocalypse comes. I mean, they have to keep making Bond movies forever. They can't stop. When can you, after 23 movies, respectfully end that franchise? You can't. It's impossible.
I agree. They just got to make sure those rights stay locked in somewhere and usable.
Yeah. Right.
Recently, there were some photos released on the internet of costume photos from Superman Lives, which is the Superman movie that never happened that would have been directed by Tim Burton and had a script by Kevin Smith. Now, when I heard about the script originally, it sounded ridiculously great. Tim Burton directing a Superman movie is like, eh, especially now the way he's gone. And when I saw the costume, I had like a mini freak out because that looked hideous.
Yeah, I laughed out loud. And then there was something about Nicolas Cage and I almost vomited.
Yeah, there were rumors that Nicolas Cage was being sought after for the role of Superman.
Well, the model that they had the suit on looked like him.
Right.
Vomit. You couldn't pick, if you said, right, top 10 worst people to play Superman. Nicolas Cage would be number one.
I don't know. I think I can pick worse.
Should we?
It could be Abe Vigoda. That's worse, I'm guessing.
All right, well, Nicolas Cage is pretty damn bad. I mean, it was hard enough having him as Ghostwriter, but Superman?
Yeah, I never liked that cast, but what the hell was that costume? It looks like someone took a bubble blower and shot it at someone and then scribbled an S on him.
Yeah, and like that fancy saran wrap you get for cupcakes that like come in different colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
not to
horrible.
Mention, how the hell was someone going to move around in that thing?
Well, I was looking at the sleeves, and it actually looks like saran wrap. It looks flexible, the yeah. sleeves. I don't know.
Yeah,
it
but then you got the big bubbles coming off. You're going to yeah. bump into yourself all the time.
I don't know. Plus, there's electricity involved, and what a disaster. Thank God.
Yeah, and if people are like, what the hell, Superman costume bubbles? Look for that online. Quick Google. good Lord. I don't know. Horrible. Last story. AMC renews The Walking Dead for a second season already. AMC just announced yesterday the renewal of The Walking Dead for a 13-episode second season. Since debuting Sunday, October 31st, The Walking Dead has broken ratings records, with the series reaching more adults 18 to 49 than any other show in the history of cable television.
Yes.
That's huge.
Did you watch it?
No, I hate zombie stuff.
I love zombies.
And I'm imagining you watched it.
I did. I've only seen the first one. I think it's going to be my Friday night date night with my boyfriend. Because we watch it on demand. It's on too late on Sunday to actually watch it when it's on. So last Friday we watched the first episode, and this Friday we're going to watch the second one. So I think that's going to be our new little Friday night thing. Popcorn and zombies.
Awesome. What a combo.
Awesome. No, I love zombies, so I'm wicked excited that there's a zombie television show. And I haven't read the comic, but I really want to, but I really don't want to, because now that I'm watching the show, I don't want to know what's going to happen.
Now you know exactly how I feel when everyone's like, why aren't you reading Harry Potter? Because I'm watching the movies, and they're not
yeah,
done yet.
Yeah,
what's
so much
up?
No, there's just so much more in the book. You're just missing a lot by not reading the book.
Yeah. You're probably missing a lot by not reading the Walking Dead books.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm very conflicted, Rob. Plus, mm-hmm. I just found out about them, so now I don't have time.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I'm ecstatic about that. I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, the first episode was like, I guess you could say it was a little bit slow, but it's a whole series, you know, it's not a zombie movie. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to get right into that much peril immediately. So I'm going to give it a chance. I liked the first episode. There's one thing I really didn't like about it. I'm not going to share because I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about the second episode because there was a part in the first episode that made me sort of go like, how the hell is he going to get out of that? So it's pretty action oriented. The zombies look awesome. It's really cool. And they're having actually, they have like a walk-on zombie role you can win or something. That's, I guess it's filmed on location in Atlanta. So that's where they get all their zombies, just nice. Random people that they cover in makeup and tell them to walk around and moan. So it's awesome. And I actually want to share too, there's a book that I want to talk about real quick about zombies. If anybody hasn't read it, it's called World War Z, and it's the best zombie book ever. And it has a supplemental book called The Zombie Survival Guide. And I highly recommend those two books to anyone, including you, Rob. I think you would like them.
Is this a book or a comic book?
A book, novel. They're both pretty short, but
it's about zombies, and you want me to read it?
I think you'll like it. I really do. because the Zombie Survival Guide, first of all, is really funny. It's not like scary. It's not about people's bowels being ripped out. It's literally a zombie survival guide. It's written. Even the illustrations are like really bad, like back in elementary school science class.
Yeah.
It's a survival guide, what to do in case of a zombie apocalypse.
I already have one of those, and it covers way more because I have my Batman handbook. Thank you very much.
If you're not going to take my suggestions seriously. No, it's really funny because you're reading it going, this makes so much sense. Like, really? Like, I'm going to keep it. And if that ever happens, I'm taking it with me. Like, it's so funny. But at the same time, it's like realistic. But you start slapping yourself going, zombies aren't real. But you're reading it going, why does this guy know everything there is to know about zombies? And then the World War Z is a post-apocalyptic story about after we've won the zombie war.
Okay.
So it's about this journalist that goes around and talks to all these different people who had an integral part in the zombie war and gets them to tell their story about how we won, or at least how we're on our way back. It's phenomenal, and they are going to make a movie out of it. And the author, Max Brooks, said that if it's not the Lord of the Rings of zombie films, he will not allow it to be made.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's short. I mean, it's not a complicated read. It's not a long read. But I highly recommend both of those books, and they complement each other very well. If you know, you can read one before the other. It doesn't matter what order you read them in. But they make a great complement to each other, and they're both, you know, really short, easy reads. But they're phenomenal. And when they make that movie, I'm going to be geeking about that for like a year. It's going to be amazing.
I will rush right to the store and not buy that.
Damn it. I want you to so bad. All right.
That's you put my up a good argument, but yeah, I don't know.
It's because it's not like about zombies. It's more of a social look, actually, which they say The Walking Dead is that type of thing, too. It's like a what would you do kind of situation.
Yeah.
You're caught, you know, in this life-threatening situation and how you'd change and how, you know, what you would be able to do or not do. But those books are just awesome, and I geek about that whenever I watch or think about The Walking Dead, because I love zombies.
Too much, apparently.
I love them.
Is there a thing in the book that says what happens if you fall in love with a zombie?
No. Actually, he's very adamant about zombies having no emotions. Some zombie mythology have said that there's like still a trace of who you once were underneath. They did that in Shaun of the Dead a little bit. You know, at the end, the zombie was playing video games.
See, I actually watched that one.
Did you like it?
I liked the first half. I liked it while it was a comedy and it was a parody of zombie movies.
It did get very serious.
And then it got way too serious and it took a turn that I was not expecting and I didn't want. I just wanted the straight up parody.
Yeah. I don't know. That's one of my favorite movies. But anyway, this author is adamant that there is nothing left to that human at all whatsoever. And you can't kid yourself into thinking there is. But it's really good. I mean, it outlines, especially the Zombie Survival Guide, outlines the mythology in a way that now I take it as gospel. So now if I watch a zombie movie that doesn't adhere to that mythology, I'm like, they're wrong. Because this guy with the guide was right. It's weird. It's awesome.
I'll take your word for it.
Somebody out there is listening to me and they're really excited. Just because you're not excited, Rob. Somebody out there is going, I'm going to go get those books.
One of our two listeners has totally read it. And they're like,
shut up. Okay, everybody that's listening to this brother. Right now, email in to podcast and just tell Rob that he should read the book, if you've read the book, and if not, you should read the book, and tell him that you're excited about reading the book, because it's awesome.
If this is the thing that actually gets our fans to write in, then I'll do it.
I'm calling out to all the zombie lovers right now, email podcast@thegeekgeneration.com and tell Rob how awesome zombies are.
If there's actually a mass, like, uprising of fans, which I'm doubting because so far I think our fans are pretty lazy, but if there is a mass uprising of fans, then I will do it.
All right, that sounds like a challenge.
It is a challenge.
All right, everybody's got to write in.
Well, while they're writing in, they can probably answer this week's poll question, which I haven't even given yet and really doesn't relate to anything we talked about in the whole episode. I'm just curious.
Awesome.
Yeah. This week's poll question is, who is your favorite Ninja Turtles character? Totally unrelated. Totally. I was looking at my collection of movies, and I saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles the movie and TMNT, and I just was thinking about how much I love Donatello, and I want to know what everyone else's favorite Ninja Turtles character is. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's one of the turtles. It could be anyone in that whole span of the Ninja Turtle universe. But I do want to know who your favorite Ninja Turtle character is. You can send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter.
Subject line, out of left field.
Yes, pretty much. Or it could just be Donatello rules. I'll
or
take
it could
that
be
too.
Zombies are great and Rob, you're
wrong. I don't want to do it. So before we wrap things up, we do have Veterans Day coming up this Thursday, and I just want to take a moment to thank all the veterans that have served in the military and all those that are currently deployed and serving. I have two very close friends who spent a good portion of their lives serving the country, and I respect the hell out of those guys and just want to make sure that everybody is doing what they can to observe Veterans Day in the proper way. I don't have to work, and that is an awesome way to spend it.
I do, but yeah, we love you guys. Thanks a lot.
So with all that being said, is there anything you would like to plug on our way out or a final thought you'd like to give?
I actually do have something to plug.
Oh.
I don't know where to start. Okay, I'm going to try to keep it short. On my Facebook page, which I believe is not set to private, so anybody can look me up. It's Anna Zifkak. I'm friends with the Geek Generation and with Rob as well. There is a link to a Puzzle Builder website. It's an Autism Speaks, sort of like a game, and it is for donations to be made to autism research through Autism Speaks. Again, it's called the Puzzle Builder, and you basically buy a piece of my online puzzle, which is a picture of my young nephew. It's $10, which I know this is a bad time of year and nobody wants to donate to anything, but you know, it's a really great cause.
And it's a tax write-off.
It is a tax write-off, and they send you a receipt
because
I've already donated, and they send you an e-receipt, so it is a tax write-off. And it's $10, and it'll make you feel better when you go to sleep at night, because 1 out of 110 children are affected with autism, and 1 out of 70 boys are affected with autism. And we need to find out why. It's incredibly important, because if those numbers go up, you know, and these kids are getting older every day and they're not becoming, you know, functioning members of society, it's a dire situation. It really is. If you don't know anyone autistic, you will. And just these kids need your help, and we need to find out what's happening to them. My nephew was born perfectly normal. He sort of started to fade away when he was about 1.5 years old. So even if you have a little kid that you know, oh, they're fine, they're, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 months old, well, they're not fine, because something's happening to these kids. You know, he used to talk and he stopped talking. It's a very important cause that I think that the whole country has to get on board with. And, you know, it's only $10, so it'd be a really good thing to do. And I think you can go to puzzlebuilder.com, or you can link to it through my website.
And we'll put a link up in the show notes so people can donate right to your puzzle. So
thank
that'll
you.
Be convenient.
That would be great. And it's, you know, it's a good time of year. A lot of people try to donate this time of year. So if you're going to do something good, it's a really, really great cause. you know, and I actually, I was laughing when I started off because I was sort of insulted by the president of Autism Speaks.
Yeah.
Because he emailed me and said, how come no one's donated yet? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I don't have any friends, you jerk. So it was kind of like, he like elbowed me like, hey, what's going on with your puzzle? I'm like, hey, so anyway,
I'm trying.
I donated one, you know, so yeah. Got my little puzzle piece in the middle with my name on it and nobody else has helped me out. So, each puzzle is worth $200 altogether. So, you know, every $10 donation goes to that $200. And I don't believe it actually gets donated until we hit the $200 mark. So I really need your help. Please just donate $10. What's $10? It's like a lunch. You know, just do it. That'd be great. And it's important.
All right. Well, we'll put that link in the show notes and everyone can hit that up. So as we get out of here, I ask the fans that if you like the show, to please tell your friends. Word of mouth is the best way to spread this stuff. Or, you know, like Facebook, Twitter, that kind of stuff too. You know, social networking. If you want to see some of the articles that we talked about in the news, as well as other things, you can go to the site at www.thegeekgeneration.com. On that site, there is a button which you can use to subscribe to this show in iTunes. While you're at iTunes, rating the show and writing a review is a big help for me. There is also a donation button on the site that no one will ever use. And really, this week they should be donating to the autism research anyway. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you would like us to discuss on a future show, send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you would like to submit an article to the site, like, you know, your own list of the top 10 hottest girls in Hollywood or something like that, or an audio file to this show, you can send that to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. So, second show in. All is well.
Zombies rule.
Oh, please. Come on. Get out. You have to end it like that.
Yes, I do.
Zombies rule. Zombies rule and vampires drool.
They do. It's true.
Well, yeah, all the blood.
Would a zombie eat a vampire?
Hmm.
I don't know. They don't eat. No, I don't think they would.
That'd I think be we a should leave matchup. That. Let's leave that hanging in the mythos.
That would be a good matchup, because I don't think they eat other dead.
Dun, dun, dun. As we ask the question and slowly fade away, we will see you all next time on The Geek Generation.